Hey, everybody, it's Bear from the All About Nothing podcast. Make sure to mark your calendars. The 10th Masters of Putt-Putt tees off Friday, August 22nd at Frankie's Fun Park from 6:30 to 8:15. Teams of three or more dressed in themed outfits. They will battle for glory and prizes. Register your team by August 21st and don't be late. Putting starts at 6:45 sharp. Check out everplaysocial.com for more details. Everplay Social's 10th Masters of Putt-Putt, again, August 22nd. At Frankie's Fun Park in Columbia.
The All About Nothing podcast may have language and content
that isn't appropriate for some.
Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome, Nothingers, to the All About Nothing podcast. This is episode number 256. I'm Barrett Gruber. I'm joined by Mr. Bill Fry. Welcome, Bill.
Hello, Barrett. How are you this week?
That felt like the most professional, and it's probably because you've improved your audio quality. So I accept that's all right, but very, very professional.
That sounds too corporate.
Hello Barrett.
Hello.
Please subscribe and share the show. That's how we get new listeners. Also, please consider supporting the show financially by visiting theallaboutnothing.com and becoming an official member and proudly calling yourself a true nothinger. We're still looking for at least a handful more of nothingers to become members so that we can shave Bill's beard.
A handful, huh?
I'm going to say a handful. It could be a Hulk size handful. It could be a Thor size handful. It could be a Superman size handful. It's more than one. I'll say it's more than one. We'll have more details on how you become a nothinger at the end of the show. If you can't do that, please give us a 5-star review, a like, and follow us across all social media. You can find links at theallaboutnothing.com. Also want to remind everybody to check out ZJZ Designs. Whether you're looking for the perfect graphic tee to show off your style or something unique to wear for any occasion, ZJZ Designs has you covered. From bold designs to creative prints, they offer a range of apparel that's all about making a statement. And if you love standing out in the crowd, check out their collection today at ZJZDesigns.com. I'm not currently wearing one of their shirts, but I do wear them on occasion, and they're very comfortable. I had a very lovely St. Patrick's Day shirt that I wore on my birthday. Also, I had a Christmas with the elf on it, and I had a Thanksgiving with Tom the turkey on it. So make sure to check that out. ZJZ Designs, where fun meets fun, where fashion meets fun, no matter the season. See, I still messed it up. It was bound to happen.
It wasn't as bad as last time.
Last time was bad. Thank you for reminding everyone that didn't hear it. There were some severe abrupt cuts in that last edit that we did. First question I want to ask you, Bill. Are you tired of seeing the reels with the baby AI replacements of some of these videos yet?
No.
You love them?
I think it's funny.
It is funny.
I think it's pretty funny. I like a lot of those, honestly, where they just, well, some of them are just Photoshop. I mean, I don't know, like the JD Vance one is pretty funny.
Oh yeah.
I love the many faces of JD Vance.
Those, some of them are pretty grotesque. And then I see some the AI ones and I'm like, oh, I guess that's an improvement. I saw one AI video of a very grotesque large JD Vance in the Thames River going through London as a helicopter was approaching him, and he was halfway buried in the river. But like the helicopter's approaching him, and he's just kind of sitting there with that JD Vance stare. I don't know what else to call it. But
I don't know what the prompts are for the people sit around and come up with. But man,
they do.
I can't imagine.
I would be curious as to what JD Vance's take on it would be. Like
didn't he see one of them though, and like set his profile picture to the one with the curly hair where it's. I don't know if that was fake or not.
I didn't see
I
that.
Can check now that I have.
I was gonna say it's entirely possible he might have, but I don't know. He seems very thin skinned just based on his reaction to things. I did see that he did meet the new Pope. Is he just hanging out in Italy now? Like, is he in Rome pretty much all the time just to be around? Because he killed the last Pope allegedly, and then shortly after Pope Leo the 14th or whatever, then he's in the Vatican like the following Sunday and shakes hands with the Pope. So I've
been there twice in the past month.
Yeah. I think. How does that work? Like
planes.
Well, you know what?
Taxpayer money, really.
Yeah, it's taxpayer. It has to be taxpayer money, but I completely forgot about the planes. That does make more sense. I also wanted to comment on, I assume it's real. It's entirely possible that it's not, but I did see that Elon Musk has taken a step back. Now, I think that's partially his choice, but I think that's also because Donald Trump has pretty much wiped him from any of his future administration jobs. I know that Doge is, I'm hearing less and less about Doge, especially with concerns about that even I've heard some Republicans say, well, if they've found all of this fraud, why hasn't there been a Department of Justice investigation into the fraud that they have found? Why hasn't there been some sort of an announcement of criminal charges against anyone that has partaken or, I guess, assisted in this fraud? And ultimately, I think that there are even Republicans that are concerned that maybe it's not fraud and maybe it's just overspending or places where they can cut the budget, which I'll be completely honest with you. I think that there's a lot of benefit to having some sort of an audit program that can go in and assess the spending of these government entities and can make cuts or find places. But ultimately, it still has to go back through Congress. Congress has to be the one to decide on these things.
My question is, honestly, I haven't seen, is there not already something that does that? That's not Doge? I mean,
we do have a budget office that does do assessments on the cost of things, and they do go through and will release, I guess, to the press and Congress information about how much something is going to cost or potentially what the savings might be. This is the same budget and control office that came out and said that the tax cuts that the Republicans are trying to push right through right now could raise our national debt between $4 and $6 trillion over the course of the next 8 years, which is alarming, because if I was a fiscally conservative Republican, I would say, what are we doing and why, what is it that they're doing and why is it going to increase the cost or the debt that's going to be, you know, talked about as being, you know, our grandchildren and our great grandchildren and our great great grandchildren's responsibility over the course, which is such a horseshit thing. I get so tired of it when people say those things, because I am fundamentally of the belief that they're not dealing with real money. Like this idea that $38 trillion worth of debt the United States owes to its backers, or, you know, T-bills and things like that, to the Chinese government and, you know, the Russians and all this other stuff. It's all horseshit. They owe us a decent amount of money. We owe them money. And so I've never concerned myself with what the U.S. national debt is going to weigh on my children and children and children and children. Or children's children.
Yeah, and really, it's not gonna do that unless we default on our debt. If we defaulted on our debt, we would immediately suffer greatly. I mean, and that's why every time in my opinion, it's a little bit of like a circus show. Every single time one of these budget approval things come around, they say we're not gonna do it. Are Democrats gonna do it? Are Republicans gonna do it? Are they gonna meet eye to eye? And then somehow a week before, every single time, came up with something and everything's fine for the next year. And we're going to do this again, which you don't even need to do that again. You can just lift the total cap on the spending.
Yeah.
Which I'll be honest. I saw Trump said he wanted to do that.
Yes, he did.
I think sometime last year. And I'm like, other countries do that.
We are one of the only first world countries on the planet that still requires that our Congress create a budget every year. And we haven't created a budget. We haven't actually had a budget in, I want to say, since like maybe 2014. And that may not be completely correct, but I just know that all we do is just pass continuing resolutions. We will raise that debt ceiling And ultimately, Trump wants to get rid of the debt ceiling because it's not something he doesn't want to be. He doesn't want his spending to have to. He doesn't have to worry about hitting that debt ceiling and then potentially defaulting on any of our loans and having the credit of the United States, you know, dropped or whatever, which I think did happen during his first term. I think in his first term, the United States credit rating dropped because we didn't reach a continuing resolution. Did it happen under Obama? I could be wrong.
Let me see the last time credit score.
Yeah. America. I just know that I thought that it happened under Trump and it was a big concern. It could have happened under Obama. I just remember it happening recently, like in the last 10 years or, you know, whatever. So,
yeah.
You know, and it's not that
2011.
Oh, wow. That was the last 2011. Goodness.
Yeah.
Boy,
yeah.
These years are just flying by.
It dropped from AAA to AA+.
Are we still at double?
So
still at AA+.
Yeah, no, we're still at the A+.
Okay.
So it's, let me also double check something real quick.
It's interesting. It's interesting how the United States can continue to just incur more and more and more debt while we and then be able to just ask for more available debt just every 3-6 year, whatever, you know, however long it is.
And it's kind of, I mean, it's mainly our stuff, right? I mean, it's not, people keep saying, well, that's China's money that we owe. It's not China's money at all. That's just money that in projects we have started, and then that is the overspending that happened.
Correct. Where
it just went to it. And government debt is very different from debt me and you will pay. It's completely different.
Yeah.
And people don't seem to get that. I wish I had, there's a really good Vox documentary on the debt ceiling that I watched a couple of years ago. And they talk about the credit score. Yeah. If you haven't, I don't know the name of the video, but if you haven't watched that, go check that out after watching this show.
That's right. Go watch that. Oh, also want to remind everybody, it is voting time for the Best of Columbia, Best Local Podcast. We are a nominee for this. And I am telling you this as we record on the Wednesday before the actual announcement comes out, because this episode is coming out when the voting starts. So do me a favor, go check the show notes or go to the allaboutnothing.com. You will find a link there. Please go vote for us. I'm gonna keep reminding everybody. We're gonna put out as many possible memes and videos reminding people. But it is the voting period for the Free Times Best of Columbia. We're gonna have a list coming up on the next episode of all of the friends of the pod that are up as nominees for Best of Columbia categories. Preach is going to be in there, I'm pretty sure. We're recording this a week before it comes out, and I know prior to knowledge that we got nominated. So I feel like it's safe to go ahead and say that. but check it out. TheAllAboutNothing.com. Go vote for us. I'm pretty sure that they require email addresses in order to vote. So however many email addresses you have, go use those. Go vote for us as many times as you can. We'll talk about it again at the end of the show, just to remind everybody. But check the show notes. The link's there. It will be. It should be. It's there by now. Do you ever watch Cheers?
I did not.
You didn't?
I'm going to be honest. I know the theme song. I don't know the
Everybody knows your name. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's catchy. It's catchy.
It is.
It makes you feel good. George Wendt passed away yesterday as of this recording. Passed away May 20th, 76 years old. He was born October 17th, 1948. He has been described as a very doting family member, family man. He was well loved by his friends. And I apologize, Cubby fans, that is a me included. Like Pope Leo XIV, he is a White Sox fan. So he was born in Chicago. And George Wendt was one of those guys that I think that he was on Second City for a while. I did watch some old videos from Second City, which is a Chicago improv group, that comedy group that he partake in. He was a participant in. Very funny. He was very quick wit. On Cheers, he was really good at the character that he was as Norm. You know, he would come in the bar, and as soon as he'd walk into Cheers, he'd say, "Afternoon, everybody," and everybody would yell, "Norm!" You know, and he had his designated seat at the bar. So I'll be completely honest. I didn't know he was still alive. So while it came as a shock to hear of his death, it didn't really take an emotional toll on me. There are celebrities that I know that when they do pass, it is going to take an emotional toll. I know that Robert Duvall is one of those, unless Robert Duvall's already dead. Now I'm not sure. Hey Siri, is Robert Duvall already dead? We'll have to see what the answer
is. It's funny, if you just assume every celebrity is dead, you don't have to grieve at all. Do you want me to
use ChatGPT? See. Yeah, I'm going to tell it to use ChatGPT because I am not entirely certain that Robert Duvall is alive or dead. But no, Willie Nelson is one of those celebrities that. Nope. He is still alive. Robert Duvall is still alive. Let's
get it. There we go. You got life.
Robert Duvall is one of those. I love watching the movies that he is in, from Godfather to Open Range to I'll even say Deep Impact. I thought he was good in Deep Impact. I think it was a terrible movie, but I thought that he was really good. So Robert Duvall is one of those. Willie Nelson's one of those.
How old is Willie Nelson? Because he's up there.
90, 91. I'd ask ChatGPT again, but
made another song a couple of years ago. I thought
there was he actually had a whole album come out. Yeah. Well, he had a whole album come out of cover songs with other artists. One of the songs he did was with his son. 92. But he did an album with his son, or he did a song with his son, which was one that was taken from Pearl Jam. And I can't think of the name of the song right now, but it's a really good rendition of that song. It's a good album. Willie Nelson does really good work. It's a very unique way that he sings, what he does with his voice and how he attacks. I say attacks, but how he sings. And it's really good. So, I mentioned Elon Musk. Elon Musk has pulled back, and then I completely deviated. Elon Musk is.
I was going to say that's one that's going to upset you.
Elon Musk is not going to upset me. That will just be like a May 21st to me. but he was interviewed recently, and I guess he only does his interviews via Zoom with like a background that's been blurred out now. But he was interviewed, and I've seen it all over the internet now, including reputable sources. So I'm pretty certain it's real. But he says he is not spending money on politics anymore. He is no longer in Trump's inner circle. He will spend money on politics where he thinks it's needed, but he's focusing on Tesla and SpaceX and apparently online game streaming. So priorities.
Didn't he like try to hire somebody to play the games for him?
When
he actually tried to play, he was terrible at it.
Allegedly. So that is the rumor, is that whatever worldwide skill level or recognizing whatever level it is he has at playing some video game, and I'm sure I could look it up, but whatever that skill level is or whatever his place in the world is on that, no one believes that it's him, because he apparently jumped to that level very quickly. And when he is streaming in front of actually playing, like when he's on camera actually doing it, he does not play at the skill level of his character. So like when he's playing, his character's not very good. But when he's not on camera and he's playing, or his character is online, they are exceptionally good. Makes me think that it's not him.
I wonder how much somebody would get paid for that though.
Well, he has 14 children. There are rumors that he actually uses the
one of his kids.
Yeah, well, that he wants to populate the Earth. Like at one point he was saying that was the most important thing, was making sure that the population of the Earth was sustained, and that he was going to do his part in order to make sure that the Earth stayed populated. Because I think in the United States, our whatever our rate is, like birth rate compared to the death rate. Yeah, well, it's like
Neil deGrasse Tyson has a good talk on this.
Yeah.
It's like reach 1 billion in America.
Yeah.
To outlast something.
Yeah, but it's like 1.4. So for every, okay. Let's say you and your significant other have a child, but you only have one. So that would be a birth rate of 1.0. And in most cases, what they're finding is that the birth rate has dropped to about 1.2 or so, but you're not replacing the number of individuals that are adults at that point. You're below that level. So in order to maintain the same level, it's got to stay at a 2. So you and your wife have two children, then you have brought that number into the population. So you're maintaining that level. So we're below that 2 here in the United States, which, you know, that's why the United States thrives on immigration. The United States does much better when it comes to that, because if we're keeping the population rate, or if we're keeping the population high, which we are, 340 million people in the United States compared to 320 something, you know, 15 years ago, then, you know, that's how we do it, is we're keeping the diversity of the country. And we're, you know, that's why immigration is important, and having the ability for people to become citizens to get work visas and then potentially stay in the United States, it should be something that's available. But, I don't know. Yeah. People seem to think that's a bad idea, and we just had baby after baby after baby. So I did my part. We have three.
I have not. I'm rebelling.
Fair enough. Look, Zach and I made up for you. Zach's got two, or Zach's got three. I've got three. So for you, that's the bar has the bell curve is now higher because of us. I don't know. Whatever. I think it's dumb. Population's the population. Let's just try to figure out how we can take care of everybody inside that population number, the statistic anyway.
And maybe even incentivize people to have kids.
Yeah, well, or yeah, have some sort of social structure social net that's available, so that people don't have to go into poverty to have children. We talked about in the bonus episode last week, or the bonus of the episode last week, about the woman who had a brain,
blood clot,
and is brain dead. But she was 9 weeks pregnant when she had the brain clot, and she has been kept on life support and basically kept alive as an incubator for this baby. And that is, you know, the mother is obviously not going to survive this. That I think I saw this week that the percentage possibility of the child actually being born successfully is now under 10%. Who's going to cover the expenses of this woman, you know, being on life support for all of this time after she does pass away? I mean, I assume her husband or partner that she's having that she was pregnant with, is the state going to force them to go into some unbelievable debt because the body of this woman was kept basically just beating its heart and pumping its lungs for, like, I don't know, what, 8 months? I mean, that's insane. Yeah. The cost of that has to be astronomical.
Yeah. No, it's, I can't imagine it. That's just, God, I don't understand what they think the end goal is with that, or who they think they're saving, or anything. I have no idea.
They've already verified through scans that the child has the unborn child has fluid on the brain, which means the likelihood is that the child is going to have, if it survives the birth, is going to have an unbelievably difficult life. and it's going to require near constant care in order to have any recognizable functions in life. So they've condemned this child to a life of potential misery. And I get that people are going to say, well, that's not your decision. That's for God to decide. And it's like, well, I would reprioritize some of the decisions that he has to make, if I'm being completely honest with you. Where did we start with all this? It was the AI replacement of babies in videos, right?
That's from AI babies to fetuses.
Yeah, exactly. Somehow we've meandered through the fields of conversation to that. Well, so the meat of this episode and the episode I have titled as "This is the advice episode." And if you're not aware, there is a section or a subsection of Reddit called advice, and people will put, I guess they'll put Reddits out there. We still call them Reddits. I'm not hip.
No, I have Reddit, but I'm scared of it.
I don't blame you. It is a minefield of potential problems. But I found three that I thought were interesting and maybe worthy of our all about nothing advice. So I'm going to read to you what the Reddit was, and then we can discuss what we think the best solution might be. So this one is titled, "I think my neighbor was deported and now his car is about to be towed."
Wow.
I'm laughing, but it's awful. So, this is from JWVC8XE72-HFUI. My guess is that Reddit actually came up with their username. So he says, I assume he, "I had a neighbor for a long time. He was foreign, but not that I cared. Very nice, minded his business, no issues at all. I could never figure out his accent, but I know it wasn't French or German. I'm thinking possibly Polish. I haven't seen him in a while, and now his car has been tagged to be towed. It's not a cheap car. He has a really nice Subaru. I'm worried something has happened to him, and now he's about to lose his car at the apartment complex. Does anyone have any advice here? Please and thank you." So there's the first edit. "The vehicle is functioning and not broken down. I've seen him driving it before. He's an older gentleman at maybe 60 or 70 years old. I'm trying to protect his property because he has seemingly vanished." Second edit. "I'm confident I just found info on him from searching resident history for his address. And holy crap, he's some sort of professor, esteemed researcher." Edit three.
Wow.
"I read the towing sticker this morning on my way out of work. It says that it will be towed for expired tags. I looked at the tag on the vehicle and it was good through March 2025. The tag expired in April and his vehicle hasn't moved from its spot for a while now." Edit four. "I called my apartment manager and told her my concerns. She didn't know off the top of her head who is the vehicle owner." I'm reading this verbatim, so grammar be damned. "I told her I'm pretty sure it's my neighbor's because I've seen him driving it before, but also that doesn't, but I haven't seen him lately. And there was no answer at the door. She's going to check on him. And if he's not there, she'll call his cell phone. I'll call her today and see if there's an update." Fifth edit. And last edit. "I have arrived home. I spoke with the apartment manager for an update. She emailed my neighbor and for future reference, made a note that is his car. The maintenance man commented that he has seen my neighbor about 2 weeks ago. We agreed that he is most likely on a trip and she will inform my neighbor that a property manager is to be notified the apartment will be absent longer than 7 days for travel. The green towing sticker is still on the vehicle. The listed tow date is Friday, May 23rd, 2025. So for now, I will be watching his vehicle closely to ensure they do not tow it." So back to
he just maybe overreacted and got scared and he's probably just on vacation.
Ultimately, this is one of the longest Reddits I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, usually these things are only like this long, but but ultimately he kept making so many edits in this thing. We pretty much got around to, okay, he solved it himself. Like, he can't stop the vehicle from getting towed without, you know, going out there and putting a cover over it or something. But, like, why did you leave this up? Like, why didn't you take this down? You,
it's like, kind of pointless. It's like, yeah, okay, I just overreacted. And I just got a little paranoid because of the news lately.
Yeah, but that was the other that. So here are the reasons I don't think he's been deported. Drives a Subaru. Drives a Subaru. He thinks he might. He doesn't think he's French or German. He thinks he might be Polish. So he's white. Ultimately, those two things, between the Subaru and being potentially Polish, I think he's safe. He's vacationing somewhere in the Alps.
I don't know. That one Russian professor up in one of those northern states, I can't remember which one it is, almost found the cure to cancer, and they're probably going to deport her.
I saw that.
So
I saw it. That's disturbing.
The chances are probably, actually, they just are way lower.
If you're
foreign and white, you're still privileged in this country, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm playing the odds on that one. I think he's probably fine. He's on a very nice vacation or a 2-week cruise or something like that. So
yeah, my advice is to calm down. I think he's good.
All right. Well, here's our second one. So that's our advice. I will go on to the account, the All About Nothing account for this Reddit, and I will say, mind your business. That is our advice. And so the second one is titled, My Little Brother, 26-year-old male, is being extorted in prison. So this one,
wow. Okay.
This one might That's be interesting. Yeah. So it's from a user named odddiamond1191. Can anyone please provide some advice? I am open to all suggestions and opinions, even from people with experience in prison. My brother went to jail, location removed for his safety, and which I'm just saying, I'm thinking about why just not type it? Just my brother went to jail, comma.
Yeah.
And has been there for a few years. Sir, that's not jail. Jail is not years. He is being extorted by an inmate, and we don't know what for or why. That's not extortion. Extortion, you know what you're being extorted for, and you probably know why. He is being extorted by an inmate, and we don't know what for or why. Whenever we talk to him, he is asking for hundreds of dollars daily. Should we report it? Do we get a lawyer? I don't know where to start. Please, any advice is enough. My family is in distress. I assume that means right now. Then he goes on to say, I removed some detail about the location, further detail of the story, and demand amounts for privacy reasons because this is getting a lot of views. So I am sorry if you're a little late to this post. I'm reading all the comments, so please share any advice. And if I can provide updates safely, I will. So that's there are no other edits to it.
They kind of clarified that in the bit at the start where they said, I'm not going to tell you where the jail is.
I assume that was the edit. Yeah. Have you ever had family members in jail?
Yeah, but I never visited them.
Yeah. No, I've same. I guess like the extortion part is a little odd because in jail, and I have never been, knock on wood, but I don't know what sort of leverage, except for maybe like physical, you could potentially come to. Like if this man's or this individual's little brother, 26-year-old male, has gone to jail for something like if he's gone to jail for something like a serious, like sort of a RICO crime, you know, or conspiracy or something like that. Again, jail is not years. You go to prison. That's part of your sentencing is that you go to you're in jail till you are sentenced, till you're found guilty and sentenced. That's jail. Jail is just off of the sheriff's office. But I guess, if this guy thinks that his brother is being extorted in jail and he's asking for hundreds of dollars a day, first of all, I would assume he shouldn't suffer from extortion in jail. I don't understand. Like, unless they've collected some sort of information about him, or maybe maybe the outside family is at harm potential. I don't know.
And he's just not saying what happened. He's just asking for the money over and over, right?
Maybe
I would ask for clarification.
Yeah.
If he can't give it to you, he might be trying to use it for something else.
What if your brother is in jail and he's trying to build up a commissary like fund so that he can throw somebody a big like birthday party with Doritos and cosmic brownies, you know?
Yeah.
A few ice cream sandwiches here or there. I am going to say
it's funny picturing your own brother in it's funny picturing my brother in jail.
I am going to say stop paying and tell your brother to repent.
Also, just like maybe say, write me a letter and just be like, this is the specifics.
Yeah. Yeah. Give us the deets, man.
Yeah. We don't have enough detail. Like if my brother was like, I need $100. And then he just said, because something terrible is happening to me. Be like, well, what's terrible? And he's like, I don't know. I'm not giving you $100.
Congratulations, Odd Diamond 1191. We have solved your problem. There it is. All right, here's the last one. And I think this one was pretty interesting. I only read the headline, so I haven't read the story, so it could really disappoint me. This one comes from the advice section on Reddit, and it's from a user named FriendlyChemistry70. So if you're out there, Friendly Chemistry 70, please subscribe to the show. Title of it is, ever since my wife got into true crime, she low-key thinks I'm going to murder her over dishes.
Okay.
So he starts out, we used to be normal. Now she won't go to sleep unless she hears the front door lock click 3 times. And if I take too long in the bathroom, she assumes I'm dismembering something. Left my phone face down once, and she spent the night Googling psychopath micro expressions. Every time I talk about fixing the basement, she looks like she's bracing for a cold case. Yesterday, I said, we need to talk, and she opened her notes app like she was prepping for trial. I think I'm in love with a woman who thinks she's a Netflix documentary. I love her. But I'm with someone who now trusts Dateline more than me. How do you convince your wife you're just a guy with poor dish habits, not a guy with victims?
Do your dishes.
Yeah. Step up. Do the dishes. I think ultimately
that's really about it. If you just clean up after yourself. I have a problem with people that don't clean up.
I'm not OCD. But I definitely appreciate when people take care of their own stuff and make sure that they're, you know, dishes are easy. If you have a dishwasher, then, you know, you throw rinse them and throw them in the dishwasher. And then you run the dishwasher regularly. Don't let it build up. Don't come to the dishwasher with more dishes that will fit than that will fit in the dishwasher. And run it regularly. Because running your dishwasher uses less water than you washing the dishes by hand. If you're having to wash them by hand, you know, if you don't have a dishwasher because you're not paying them enough or, you know, you dismembered her in your basement, don't do that. But get a housemaid.
Every once in a while, I feel some sort of maybe a higher respect for people when I'm watching them stand there with a rag, washing their own dish. It looks like, man, you put in some extra effort. You aren't going to throw that thing in the dishwasher like I'm going to do.
Bill is a bit of a voyeurist. We found Bill's kink, everybody. Yeah.
Doing the dishes.
It's a weird one. Look, no shaming.
Crazy.
No shaming. Yeah. Not gonna. All right. Yeah. Ultimately, I think the dude, maybe it's that he approaches her in an odd way that's given her, you know, I don't think, have you ever known anyone to become so enamored with like the things that they watch on television that they change their personality or their behavior to like,
yes,
you have. Interesting.
Yeah. I would say, I know several of the Republican bro type dudes that between the Wolf of Wall Street and American Psycho.
That's fair.
They really love those characters, not mainly because they think they should be like them.
That's fair.
Go on the red pill side of Reddit, and I think you might find a lot of incels like that.
Yeah. Well, I think in this case, I think what he needs to do is maybe just step up and start washing the dishes himself. And
Do your dishes.
Yeah, do your dishes. Fold your own laundry. You know, help out a little more. Don't and ultimately put something else on Netflix. Raise the
say, hey, I have this new show. Yeah. We should watch together.
Don't watch. Yeah, no. I was gonna say, find somewhere where you can download This Old House. Just go and watch This Old House. Just watch old episodes of This Old House. I promise you'll have a much better night. You can do it while you're smoking, you know, any sort of vegetation or whatever. Really and truly, yeah. It's quite enjoyable.
Do more things with your wife and
go out.
Yeah, go out to dinner. Just actually hang out with your wife. I don't know if too many people do that. I don't know.
Well, friendly chemistry.
I've never been married.
Ultimately, my suggestion is you listen to more of this podcast and you'll get yourself helped out. Want to remind everybody again, it is voting season for the Best of Columbia.
Grab your wife right now.
Do you like how I crowbarred that in there? That is one of the worst segues I think I've ever made. It is voting season. Check the show notes. Vote for the allaboutnothing.com or vote for the All About Nothing podcast for best podcast in Columbia. Links in the show notes. Go do that. We'll have lots of details. You can check our social media too. We'll definitely have a lot of posts out there so that people can follow that link. Go vote for us. I know that we are in the running with Ami's podcast, Welcome to Wonderland. She took a lot of our votes last year. Let's make sure that we get to them first. Like I said, also recent episode guest Melissa Ganey, who is the licensed professional counselor at In the Garden Counseling. She is also up for Best of Columbia for therapy services. Everplay Social is also up for Best Website sport/sport website. So definitely go and vote for them. We will have a list of everyone that we need to make sure that we include so that the friends of the pod that if we do win and they win, everyone that goes to the party will get to hang out and know each other. Ultimately, that's the most important part, is knowing people at the party. We're going to move on to the second to last segment of the show tonight. But I did have a question, and I didn't know that this was actually an issue for a lot of people, but apparently it is enough for, it includes enough people that Time had to write an article, this week in their health section, which is 7 things to say when you forget someone's name. I am twice your age, I'm pretty sure. I've always been the type of person that if someone isn't in my sphere regularly, then I do have a difficult time remembering their name. If I don't think about them or it just doesn't occur to me, then I will forget their name. Do you ever find yourself suffering from any sort of thing like that?
Often.
Yeah. Often.
Honestly, I would say it's like a 60-40 for sure.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know what it is about people when I'm like, oh, I can remember that name. If it's like real easy or if they're just like a funny looking person, I'm like, oh, I can remember that.
Sometimes I feel awkward about asking someone what their name is. Like, so it doesn't always come up with like me running into people because, you know, I don't run into people very often. I'm pretty much just a hermit that stays at home. But like, someone will mention someone's name and I genuinely will have to go through like a Rolodex of people's faces in my mind of trying to associate that name with a person's face and then trying to remember exactly how it is that I'm associated with them or why I should know them, that sort of thing. But Time Magazine came up with 7 things that you can say to someone when you forget their name. But these are mostly like in persons. So the first one is, hey, I didn't catch that. Can you repeat it? So I guess in this situation, rather than making anyone feel awkward about the fact that you forgot, maybe this seems like it's more of a situation where someone has just told you their name and you forgot it immediately. That's a very short-term
memory. I do that quite often. I'm like, tell me your name one more time so I can, or I'll be like, if I'm trying to get a contact, I'm just like, could you write your name and contact information down?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Second one is, I know we met at a such and such conference. I'm just blanking on what your name is at the moment. That's all right. I feel like I don't, like I said, these don't really apply to me. I don't go anywhere. If someone tells me someone's name and I'm supposed to associate it with a face or whatever, I'll just flat out ask them like, who is this? Like, how am I supposed to know this person? If they're telling me a story about someone, I don't know who, tell me what I need to know about this person or let's just drop it.
Yeah.
Third one is, I want to say Archibald. No. All right. Help me out. So a little jest, you know, I do have a tendency sometimes of being exaggeratedly obscure or overly unnecessary with just making up a name if I can't remember it. So I guess that one sort of applies to me. It's possible.
I don't do that often. It's more so I'm just gonna be like, I'm gonna be honest, I completely forgot.
No, that's good. That's the next one. I should know this. What's your name? That's not bad. Yep. That's good. Yeah. Let's see. Fifth one, because we just did the fourth one. It is, I'm doing that thing where my brain has your face on file, but forgot to label it. Help me out. That's not bad. Admitting, you know, what's wrong with me. Yeah. And then I think that prepares them for the next time that we run into each other and I potentially am not going to know their name again.
I know faces very well. Especially that's my problem with celebrities. Like I know a celebrity. I know exactly a lot of the famous people. I just mess up their names so often that it's just like, wow, I don't know any celebrity. It sounds like
I was watching, Pirates of the Caribbean. The first one, the Curse of the Black Pearl, had no idea that, the girl that plays in, oh goodness. She's in the, she has her own show on Paramount now where she's a CIA agent. She also was in Star Trek. She was Uhura in Star Trek. Zendaya.
Zendaya?
Peter Parker's. Yeah. Zendaya is Peter Parker's girlfriend. But anyway, so I can't remember her name, but I recognized her as being, one of the characters in the Pirates of the Caribbean movie. And I was like, this movie came out in 2003. She had to be like 10. Nope. Turns out she's like 46. I had no idea.
Wow.
And then the last one is, I want to introduce you to a friend, but I just blanked on your name. I'd rather ask than guess. So, I have been known to, mess up on that one before because I have had to introduce someone to someone else. And in that introduction, I had just hoped that because I knew the person I was introducing this obscure person to, I knew their name. So I would go, hey, Bill, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine and then let them introduce themselves.
Yeah. That doesn't always work though.
It fails. It fails almost every single time. It fails
often. It fails. I don't know why. Cause I'm just like, yeah. They're like, oh, nice to meet you. I'm like, and your name.
Yeah, it fails more often than it works. And that is,
I don't think that's ever worked for me.
I think that it's worked for me on occasion. I can't say that it's worked very well. I can't say that it's worked with any sort of frequency, but I have attempted it several times. So let's see. Last thing I wanted to do tonight was this is sort of just a fun thing, but I want to bring in what I think potentially will be a fun little segment that we can do on occasion. And I call this today's headline Wheel of Chance. So I loaded up some headlines into a online wheel that we can spin. And the articles that I loaded in there are literally articles that between 9 a.m. and about 4 p.m. this afternoon came in on my phone. And ultimately, we're going to read the article and then discuss it. So I'm going to go ahead and hit the wheel and see what we get. It even makes a little clicking noise. That's kind of nice.
It does.
All right, here we go. Oh, God. Okay. So.
Oh, yeah. That just happened. Yeah. That, well, probably three or four hours ago.
Yeah. This one's embarrassing because I went and actually looked for it. So the headline is that Trump confronts South African leader with white genocide accusations. President Trump, and this is from The Hill. President Trump pulled South African President Cyril Ramaphosa, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that, but I won't forget it, into an extended and at times tense debate over claims of genocide against white farmers in South Africa, playing a video in the Oval Office to support his allegations. The otherwise cordial meeting began to dissolve after a reporter asked Trump what it would take to convince him there's no genocide targeting white farmers, as the president and other allies have claimed. Ramaphosa jumped in to say it would take Trump listening to the voices and perspectives of native South Africans, including some who joined him on the U.S. trip. So I've seen the video of what it is that Trump showed the president of South Africa, which is basically a road with a bunch of white crosses that have been put at alternating distances apart, but there's a good number of them. And the what it says in the captions is that these are all of the white farmers in South Africa that have been killed by violence of black on white crime. And ultimately, South Africa's a first world country. It is modern. It has internet. I can't find anything confirming that these stories are true. I can't find anything showing that there is actual black on white farmer specific genocide happening. And
did The Hill have anything else to say?
Yeah. So Trump then motioned for an aide to play a video, a sign. He and his team were prepared to defend their controversial claims. The roughly 4-minute video, which the White House later shared on its social media platform X, included clips of South Africans saying "kill the farmers" and chanting about shooting Afrikaners. This is very bad. These are burial sites right here. Over 1,000 white farmers and those cars are lined up to pay love on Sunday morning. Each one of those white things you see are a cross. You can see that they're crosses. There's approximately 1,000 of them. This is Trump saying this. They're all white farmers, Trump said during part of the video. I'd like to know where that is, because I've never seen this, is what President Ramaphosa said of the burial sites. Ramaphosa pushed back on Trump's assertion that the white farmers were having their land taken away from them and being killed. He acknowledged that there are criminality in the country, but he noted that the majority of victims of crime in South Africa are black. Same. We're only, 25, 30 years separated from the actual active apartheid in South Africa. There's still a lot of racism that goes on in South Africa, and South Africa is still one of those places that is very, while they elected Mandela as president, they've elected Ramaphosa as president. This is still a place that has a very nationalistic, very racist, sort of undertone from whites, because they were in control for so long in the country. Basically, there was a revolution. It was a fairly peaceful revolution at times. It was violent at times as well, but this is a country that is still reeling from decades and decades of just social oppression against blacks in a, in a country that's part of a very a substantially populated black continent.
Let's see. I mean,
go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, like, true or not, honestly, true or not true, he clearly has not shown that same compassion for black and brown people anywhere.
No.
When it comes to Palestine, does not care about humanitarian aid. When it comes to Mexico, does not care. Does not care about any of the other countries where brown and black immigrants are trying to get here.
Yeah.
To escape from. If it's true, feel terrible for the South Africans there. But coming from Trump, there's what, like what? I don't know what he wants us to say.
Right. Well, and what are you going to, the fact that we have white supremacists in this country, lynchings in the United States, are up, violent crimes against minorities in this country are going up. And for Donald Trump to turn to the president of another country and say, hey, you need to take care of the white people in your country. After, again, the apartheid in South Africa that went on for decades and decades. And it's so tasteless and so ignorant of what's going on in his own, not even his backyard, his front yard. This is what's going on in his front yard. But Republicans are going to look at that, not Republicans, sorry. MAGA is going to look at that and they're going to say, well, you know, he's looking out for people like us. And ultimately, I don't think that gets anywhere. It doesn't get anyone anywhere that is going to be beneficial to our country. Again, diversity. Our country thrives on diversity.
Yeah.
It's just absurd.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing. Like, yeah, we should take them as refugees and also Palestinians and also Mexicans and also any other South American, Russians who are trying to escape the government, Ukrainians, like we should.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, we have the space, we're the richest country on the planet. There's no reason why we can't afford to, and you know, if manufacturing is coming back to the United States, we're going to need people that can work those manufacturing jobs. I'm still not 100% certain that that's actually going to play out the way that Trump says it is. But, you know, if somehow the United States benefits from the tariffs by bringing forth a bunch of manufacturing jobs and textile jobs, if those jobs come to the United States, I absolutely will give Trump his due and say, yep, I doubted it. Here it is. It's working out. Probability sort of pushes me to believe it's not, but you know, it's not worked in the past. The likelihood is it's not going to happen here. And as much as you want to force it, the only way to force it is to just spend more government money on it and create more debt. Raise the debt ceiling more. You know, that's the only way to force it to happen. It isn't going to happen organically, not here in this country. So I think we have a country of very lazy people that want to sit behind a desk and work. I say that and know that is true because I are one. So that's where we're at.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts, Bill?
Yeah. Take in refugees equally. That's pretty much it on that story. I mean, good or bad, hate it for the countries that are suffering, or has any of their citizens suffering. We could use more people.
I will say, and I agree. I will say for my final thoughts that, Christy Noem doesn't know what habeas corpus is.
Yes.
And that is,
we did learn that today as well, yesterday.
Unbelievably disappointing that the governor, before she even became the director of Homeland Security or whatever her job function is, she was governor of a state and doesn't know what habeas corpus is. And for that to be the case, only emboldens my opinion that Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, and Idaho should be one state with a population of 2.3 million, one House of or two members of the House of Representatives to Congress, and two senators. And that's it. There is no reason to give those five states more power than they deserve, because Kristi Noems does not know what habeas corpus is. And that will forever be disappointing to me. All right. Yep. That is going to do it for this episode of the All About Nothing podcast. Thank you, Bill, for being here. Really appreciate it. That was fun. I think at least one or two of those segments during this episode, I think would be great to do again.
Oh, yeah. I would love one of these days if we can do Am I the Asshole Reddit threads.
We can do that too. I would love to do that. We will. Yeah, we're going to steal some of our content from Reddit. Reddit for sure. Also, next episode, we're going to have an author. I can't give you any details on it because I haven't done my research. But next episode, we have a recently published author that's going to be on the show as well. Coming up, the South Carolina Soda City Comic Con has announced that Caitlin Roebruck is going to be back. That is the voice of Mickey Minnie Mouse. She is going to be back for Soda City here in Columbia. And we are going to have her on very soon as well. Another episode coming up very soon. I will be traveling out to Darlington Country Club to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the country club, the Darlington Golf Resort Country Club. You know, those are all coming up in future episodes to look forward to. As well, we'll be checking in with Brock from the Soda City Comic Con with everything that's coming up for that, because it's coming up very soon. You can check the SodaCityComicCon.com for details. So we got what's her name? Sackoff. I can't for the life of me. See,
She's not here. You can't even do any of the tricks.
Yeah. So she's going to be there, Sackoff, and Caitlin Roebruck. So those are the two announcements. And I do believe there are going to be some announcements coming up very soon. So make sure to follow Soda City Comic Con on all their social media for those announcements as well. You know, subscribe to the All About Nothing podcast. We're going to have exclusive information about that. Vote for us in the Best of Columbia Free Times period that's going on right now. It goes through, I want to say, June 20th. You can find us in the Best Local Podcast category under Local Media, or you can go to our website or follow the links in the show notes to go directly to the voting section of the Free Times Best of Columbia. That's where you'll find it. Vote for us, however many email addresses. I have like seven, so I'm going to do my part. but go do that, because we want to beat out on those cult members. I'm sorry, chiropractors again this year. That would be fantastic. So that's going to do it for episode number 256. Thank you again, Bill, for being here. Links to all of our past episodes, podcast platforms, merchandise, and social media are available at our webpage, theallaboutnothing.com. And if you think our financial model of giving away free content and entertainment is silly and you're in the giving mood, why not become an official Nothinger and support the show? Members get early access to this episode as well as exclusive content. You can visit members.theallaboutnothing.com, or you can find a link on our webpage. You can also give a one-time donation if you'd prefer. That's also through the same link. If you'd like to be a part of the show, you can call and leave us a message, 803-672-0533, or you can email the show at theallaboutnothing.com, or you can join our Discord server. Links are available on our webpage. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You all stay safe, be kind, keep your hands to yourself, and Kristi Noem does not know what habeas corpus is. The All About Nothing podcast is a product of Big Media and produced and engineered by me, Barrett Gruber. Thanks to Cake for our intro music, Sick of You. You can follow everything Cake the band at cakemusic.com. Thanks to Muff, the producer, for our outro music. You can follow Muff on Instagram at Muff the producer. You can follow me across social media by visiting Linktree/Barrett Gruber. And you can follow Zach King on Linktree/AANZach. Want to support support the show, visit our webpage, theallaboutnothing.com, and become a member. There are several tiers available that give you early access to episodes as well as exclusive content. To find links to our social media, podcast platforms, and merchandise to support the show, as well as past episodes, visit theallaboutnothing.com. If you'd like to be a part of the show, you can email theshow@theallaboutnothing.com, or you can call our number and leave a message. Dial 803-672-0533. If the time between these episodes is more than you can handle, check out our sister shows. What the Pod Was That with Carrie, Zach, and myself. Welcome to Wonderland with Ami. Politically Speaking with Erica, Kirsten, and Emily. And Black, White, and Blue in the South with Dr. Jamil Brooks and Bill Kimmler. Please subscribe and share this show. If you're on YouTube, please subscribe and punch that notification bell. Thank you for listening and hear us next week. The preceding podcast is a product of Big Media, LLC, and is copyright 2025, all rights reserved.